Blog Talk Radio.
Always time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
That's right, everyone. I'm back. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and thank you so much for being here with me. Welcome, 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 audience. Welcome, my new audience. Welcome to regular listeners. Thank you so much. You know, I could not do this show without, well, no, that's not true. Of course, I could do the show without you. In fact, let me share a really quick story. This is how the universe works. Years and years ago when I first started Reality Spirituality Radio, I was paying attention, here we go, focusing on the numbers, how many people were listening, how many people listened and stayed listening, how many people listened and then hung up after or stopped listening after 15 minutes or even less. And that really bothered me, and it was a point of focus. And finally, I had my talk, as I always do, with the universe. And the universe said, who cares how many people are listening? We're listening. Isn't that enough? So that just put me into a state, a permanent state of, it's never about the numbers. It's never about what, quote, unquote, society says that so many people are listening or so many people are not listening. Quite frankly, I have more important things to do than to wonder if people are listening or why they're listening. So welcome if you're listening and welcome if you're not. Today's show is going to be, of course I will say this, but it's really going to be special because last week I was off. Last week I spent a few days in Yosemite, and I flew into Fresno, California. And then after that, I rented a car and drove from Fresno to Yosemite. Now, Yosemite National Park to me has a lot of meaning and what is the word? The word is sentimental, because that was our family vacation every single year since I was 2 years old. And people, I'm a lot older than two. And I just have so many memories of the park, and especially memories with my father there. There were two before I go on, let me share with my new listeners. You can find, my name is Rebecca Norrington, and you can find my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington. Oh, excuse me. Let me change this. Excuse me, audience. Norrington. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. Reality Spirituality is on Facebook. You can go to that Facebook page and like Reality Spirituality. I do have a book on, and you can find it on Amazon. It's called Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, and you can order that on Amazon. Just search Rebecca Norrington or Reality Spirituality. Anywho, my father died in 2008. And my father was a very influential figure for me throughout my life. My mother, not so much, but my father had a lot of, he was just very influential. But when I was growing up, I remember this one particular story, and I'm going to make it quick. I was maybe 9 years old, 10 years old, at the most 11. Very young, still very willowy, just a stick of a figure, a stick of a girl. And one of the things that my brother and I did was get our rafts. My father would blow up the rafts for us. Yes, that's right. That was back in the day where there weren't any air pumps to blow up rafts. He actually sat and blew up the rafts all by himself. I'll never forget it. And we would take our rafts, put them walk all the way up Merced River as far as we would want to walk, because the farther you would walk, the more ride you would have. And we would jump on our rafts and we would ride all the way down the river, all the way down, ride, all the way down. And that Merced River has a lot of rapids. I don't know if you're familiar, but that river runs pretty quickly. And that was our pastime, and we would jump in that water even though it was ice cold. And you know, kids, we don't care how cold the water is, but that was one of my fond memories. And this one particular time, I don't know what happened, but the rapids were so fast, and I either hit a rock or one of those huge roots that grow into the ocean, and it just toppled my raft over. And the water was so deep, and it was moving so fast, and I told you I was just a stick figure at the time. I was being swept away by the river. And I was in a panic, of course, panicked. And I remember trying to grab a hold of a rock. It slipped off and just tried to swim and couldn't. I just had no power. And finally, I got close to the edge. I got close to the edge where there was a tree and there were branches hanging over, either branches or roots. I really don't remember what, but I remember hanging on, grabbing. I think they were roots that were coming into the water from the side of the lake. I remember holding on for dear life, and the water was still moving so quick, so swiftly, and I couldn't budge. I was frozen and just stuck there. And I remember screaming, and I don't know if my brother got off his raft and went to find my father or what, but I remember screaming so loud and just not being able to move and afraid to let go because I didn't have a raft and the current was so powerful. And here comes my father, Ralph Norrington. And I don't know how he did it. He walked down into the water on rocks, balanced himself, holding on to limbs, holding on to roots, holding on to whatever. And I was scared, just so frightened. I told you I was screaming, right? I don't think I ever stopped screaming until I saw my father. And he just reached down, and he just grabbed my hand. He says, "Hold on." And he just pulled me out of that death trap, out of that river. And that's one of my favorite stories about my father. And again, in Yosemite, I remember we were leaving the park. And, you know, kids, they never want to leave a place where they're having fun. And can we pull over one more time, Dad? Can we pull over one more time and put our feet in the river? And, of course, he did. But, again, the river was flowing so fast and so many rocks. But I remember he balanced himself on a rock, and the river was still flowing over it. And he held me up by my hands and just dipped my feet in the water and lifted me up and dipped my feet in the water and lifted me back up. And I kept thinking, wow, this guy is really strong. I probably weighed about 40 pounds soaking wet. But those are some of the really fond memories I have of Yosemite. And one of the things, I've been to a lot of national parks. I've been to Maine, I've been to the Sequoias, but Yosemite is the only place, the only forest, if you will, that has a certain scent, has a smell. It has a smell of pine, of redwoods, of sequoias, of and there's a scent that just permeates the park, and it is unique to Yosemite. And quite frankly, I don't know if I said, but I hadn't been back since I was in my early 20s. And sure enough, as soon as I get close to the park, there's that smell. And I just broke down and smelled and smelled and smelled and smelled the pine cones for a few days. But, and I'm going to get to my topic, I know. Oh, and I want to just say that the call-in number is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619 to ask me any question that you would like. One of the things that I've learned as a happiness specialist, and I briefly didn't even touch on that, that's who I am, a happiness specialist, which means that in every moment of my life, in every moment in my life, I'm prioritizing happiness. And I've explained it before, but I'll give it again. My definition of happiness is the ability to be at peace and calm and content regardless of what life throws you, regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. And it's been a challenge, because sometimes in these challenging moments, you know, I rather choose a little bit of drama, quite frankly. I rather choose a little conflict. I rather choose something that I know is not going to create or bring me peace. But the more I practice, and that's what this skill is, and wanting to be happier and wanting to be more at peace and wanting to find peace and wanting to be at peace in your life through all the situations is a new developed skill that you practice in every single moment of your life. So when I got to Yosemite, there were a lot of things that were different than 35, 40 years ago. And that one difference, main difference, is there sure are a lot of people that go to Yosemite. There are tons and tons of people from all over the world. Now, of course, I have to say that I didn't have an intention to be alone, but, you know, when you're hiking and when you're walking in this nature and smelling the smells and walking and hiking right alongside the Merced River and you're in the middle of the forest, well, I don't know about you, my dear audience, but I like to be alone. I do. And there were so many people. So I would have to look for spots and look for places to be alone and in solitude. And I found this beautiful spot, and I had to walk over across a couple of really big rocks, and there was a rock overlooking the river, but it was big enough to sit on. And I sat there, and I laid on the rock, and I listened to the river running, and maybe about 10 minutes passed, and guess what? More people. Wow, what a great spot. Pictures. People were maybe 2 or 3 feet away from me taking pictures. So my point to this short story is, life throws you all kinds of curveballs, and I'm here to say that there is no way that you're going to know what is going to happen in the next moment. In fact, being okay and being content with uncertainty is one of the keys to remaining, staying happy, and being at peace. Being okay with uncertainty is a skill that is practiced in every moment. That when you practice that skill, it doesn't matter what life throws at you. So I wanted to get to, and again, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. And I have a few people in the queue, and you just press the number 1 if you'd like to ask a question. But today's topic is a topic that I've actually talked about it before, but it's very current. If you're a regular listener, you know that I teach a class in my community, in my city, and it's called The Importance of Happiness. And there's four sessions throughout the year, and some sessions is 10 weeks, some session is 11 weeks, summer session is shorter, winter, so there's winter, spring, summer, fall sessions. And I just started the session last week. In fact, last Thursday was the first time. And again, like I talked earlier about numbers, the class enrollment ranges from the least amount has been 3 people, and the most has been 15. Now, the interesting, and so last Thursday, the interesting number, or the magic number, was 5. So I have 5 people that are enrolled in the class, and sometimes people enroll late, but these are the people that showed up the first day. And of course, it comes back down to the question of choosing in every moment. And I encourage my students to ask specific questions and ask questions that they have been struggling with, or bring up topics that they have been struggling with. And one person in the class, it was just priceless. Oh, wait, before I get to that, I usually ask this question, which, how many people in the class are worriers? And of course, everybody raises their hand. Yes, I worry. Of course I worry. One lady said that she worries about her children. She worries about her life. She worries about herself. She worries about her friends. I mean, they're all raising their hand saying that they worry. And it's always funny to me when people just are so eager to say, yeah, we worry. And I have to say that the students in the class are, no, I'm not going to even say that. Let me just say they're just people. Okay, let me just say they're just people. And some practice, and some are aware of spirituality, and some of them are aware of science of mind and New Age and all that kind of stuff. And some people are just civilians, if you will, and all of this is new. So it's really interesting to try to teach people that are not, that haven't really maybe had the background or interest in, they don't know who Deepak Chopra is, or they don't know who Eckhart Tolle is, they don't know Abraham, they don't know Hay House, they don't know any of this. So it's really fascinating to get those new ears. Okay, I digress. And so everybody says they worry, and then I ask them this next question. I said, how many of you announce to the people that you are worried about, that you worry, how many of you announce to them that you worry about them? How many of you make that announcement? And of course, not of course, but they raise their hand. Of course I let people know I'm worried. That's, how else do I let them know that I care about them? And I just love this exposure, what we were exposed to and what we learned. And I immediately said, well, you know, worrying is a learned habit, is a learned condition. It is a learned way of living. You learned how to worry. You didn't pop up out here, you know, when you were born and up to 2 years old and you started worrying. I mean, when did you start worrying about things? That comes later in life when parents and or people teach you, you're supposed to worry. So back up, and then of course they said, yeah, of course we tell. One lady said, well, yeah, I let my daughter know that I worry about her safety. She has an only daughter, and another lady has children, probably in their teens, and another lady has children. Yeah, I let them know that I'm worried. I'm worried for their safety. I said, oh, okay, worried for their safety. And then I hit them with this. I usually warn them and let them know that they need to put seatbelts on, their imaginary seatbelts. And of course, this is their first time meeting me, so they're looking at me like, what's wrong with this woman? What is she, nuts? Anywho, and I said, well, worrying, we already know, is a useless emotion, useless energy. And also, it was learned. And it does absolutely no good to you. It doesn't do any good to anybody else. But when you advertise that you're worried, that you're worried about someone, then what you're really saying is it's a form of trying to control them. Call me when you get there. Call me when you've arrived. Let me know when you get there. All of these things are, in other words, when you ask somebody else or you announce that you're worried, it's basically telling them that you want them to behave or you want them to do something so you won't worry. I'll give you a personal example. But I think we all know what worrying means, so let me not, you don't even need to give you an example, but let me tell you what came to me. Actually, the universe brought this to me, what worrying really means. You know how I like to take everything down to the least common denominator. Worrying only indicates that you have, and I'm going to say you because, quite frankly, audience, I don't worry anymore about anything. Well, no, not worrying, no. What that really means is that you do not trust. Worrying indicates that there is a lack of trust, a lack of trust in God, a lack of trust in the universe, a lack of trust in spirit, a lack of trust that everything's in order, a lack of trust that this is a divine plan, a lack of trust. And so it's really not just this worrying is a disguise, is a smoke screen for the deeper meaning, which is a lack of trust. So again, just like everything else, all of your answers, all of your solutions always come back to that person in the mirror. So it's not about the other person, and then maybe they might be, I'll just give you an example of my son. My son gets in a car and he'll travel from one place to another, sometimes without even telling me. Oh, yeah, Mom, last week I was in Florida, huh? or sometimes he's gone out of the country. And so it's really, it really comes down to trust. I trust that whatever is going to happen to that boy of mine is happening for a good reason, and then you let it go. And I trust that the universe has a plan for me, has a plan for my son, and who am I to even be involved in anybody else's plan? Who am I to even think that my worrying is going to do anything other than nothing? It's actually useless. So back up just a little bit. So we're talking about worrying, and I let them know that not only is worrying really an indication of you have a lack of trust. So it comes back to how do you trust more? So that's number one. Number two, one of the ladies just basically said, after we talked about worrying, and they all agreed that worrying means a lack of trust, and then we talked about what's currently going on in their life and why are they in this class that's titled The Importance of Happiness, Why Are You Here? And one woman was, and I have to say that my students are very, very open. And I'm not going to say if it's because I'm open, but whatever. They chose to be open on that day. And one woman said that she has really, really bad anxiety. Really bad anxiety and sometimes anxiety attacks. And she says it doesn't feel good, and she's here to... And one of the, this is one of the things she said. She said that she lost her happiness. That's what she said. She said she lost her happiness and she wanted to get her happiness back. And she has a lot of anxiety in her life. Now, the first thing I said was, of course, you never lose your happiness. You never lose it. But what happens is you just, your focus and your perspective is a little off. Your focus and perspective might, your focus and perspective is what needs to change or needs to be adjusted. So as soon as this woman, which she said she had so much anxiety, the lady next to her said, and I'm quoting, she says, "Oh, my problem is bigger than that." And, of course, we're all ears. And I said, "Well, what is that?" And she said that she grinds her teeth. And I said, "You mean at night?" She says, "No, I grind my teeth all the time." She said, "I've been doing it for years." She says, "I have spent thousands of dollars because I grind my teeth so hard. My teeth are down." And I didn't say, "Open your mouth and let me see your teeth." No, I didn't say that. And she says, "I grind my teeth so hard that I grind them down to nubs." And she's had, she said thousands of dollars, and I didn't ask her how much. So she says, "I can't stop." She says, "I want to stop grinding my teeth." And, of course, the lady before her said that she wants to stop being anxious. And the other lady said that the majority of her day is spent worrying, and she wants to stop worrying. Yeah, tall order for this solo happiness specialist, right? And I sat there and I was quiet for a while. Again, I said that these are civilians, so I'm talking to civilians. And I said one of the first thing that I want you to recognize is that whatever is going on in your life, grinding teeth, having anxiety, worrying, wanting health issues, whatever it is, you fill in the blank, as I said in the title, you fill in the blank. Whatever is going on, there are a few things, there has to be a shift in your focus and your thoughts about what's going on. And let me explain. Number one, there has to be a lightening up. In other words, and I'm using myself in as an example because I know that if I wanted something different, this is a serious, I use that word serious, and also which was interchanged with important. This is important and this is serious that I need to stop having anxiety. This is important and this is really serious that I need to stop grinding my teeth. This is important and this is really serious that I need to stop worrying. Whatever your issue is, or even more than one. Come on, people, you know we have more than one thing that we would like to stop, right? Well, whatever that is, before anything can stop, in fact, let me just back up a little bit. This thing, let's throw in weight too, because that's a real big one. I need to lose 20 pounds. It's serious. Just that mindset that is important and that it's serious is a place that keeps you stuck, and it is a place that keeps you in resistance because you're resisting whatever is actually happening. You don't want it to happen. You don't like it happening. I mean, of course, somebody says, "I grind my teeth to a nub, it's thousands of dollars." And in fact, I forgot to add that she says so she has to wear a mouth guard all the time. So, yeah, and I'm looking at her and telling her that it's not serious. It's not important. And she's looking at me and telling me and confused and going, "Yeah, this is important. This is very serious." But I'm saying that there has to be, number one, there has to be a shift. There has to be a shift in perspective, and there has to be a lightening up, and there has to be an acceptance and allowing that whatever is happening there for a reason, for that moment, and to lighten up with it, really. Number two, I asked the lady, the teeth grinder, I asked her, I said, I actually held up my hand, and I held up one finger, my pointer, and I said, what if I told you, I said, I don't have a crystal ball, but let me just say, what if I told you, you are going to be grinding your teeth for the rest of your life? What if I told you that? I said, asked her, how would you feel? Or what would you feel? And she said, I would be miserable. I said, okay. I said, you're choosing to be miserable. Oh, well, I'm choosing. I would be miserable. I love my civilians. And then I said, but you can choose to be miserable, or you can also choose to be at peace. And, you know, I'm going to use the word happy, regardless of you grinding your teeth. I said, either way, it's still a choice of how you want to feel. These things that happen to us, these circumstances, these whatever it is, getting older, you can choose to either be content and at peace, accepting, allowing, not resisting, or you can choose to resist and be miserable. And it was a really interesting concept to bring up, especially to civilians, because nobody has ever said that to them before. What do you mean be happy and still grinding in my teeth? Doesn't even make sense, does it? Now let me add some other tools and some other strategies or behaviors. Because once the shift is made, the mental shift, again, nothing has to change, but once that mental shift is made and you choose to accept and allow that you're grinding your teeth or you're worrying, now you're open to something changing or something happening. But see, you're making a decision. You're prioritizing peace and contentment regardless of your circumstances. Now, another thing that I suggested, I said it really requires a lightening up. And the only way I know how to lighten up, well, there's a few ways, but this is one of my main. And if you listen to the show, you know that one of my main behaviors is to laugh, is to make a joke, is to make fun, to lighten, and so what I did was, yes, I know, very reverent. What I did was I called the lady. I said, okay, so we're going to call you Anxiety Angie. Angie, anxiety, yay. And in a way that is just lighten up. And then we called the lady, I called her teeth grinder, and then wart. And listen, I have my issues too. One of my things is people asking me stupid questions. And when I say stupid questions, I mean questions that are not really stupid, but questions that are obvious. Like, you know, I'm walking, I've got my umbrella, I got an overcoat on, my clothes are wet, I got my umbrella, and somebody says, is it raining outside? Those are the questions I'm talking about. Those are the kind of questions that if I'm not centered, I'm like, yeah! And that's just my thing. A little insight on Rebecca Norrington, happiness specialist, behind the scenes. But back to lightening up and really finding humor. And when you can find humor in whatever circumstance you are going through, it actually shifts your energy and it shifts your vibration and it opens you up. And What I also said was being open. Because what if this woman spends her life grinding her teeth? I mean, I don't know if she is or not, but what if? So you have a choice. It's like, I've said this before, but like Nelson Mandela was imprisoned for, I don't know how many years. I think it was 20 years, 30 years. And so you're in prison and you never know if you're going to get out of prison. Never knew, I don't think. And so you have a choice to either be okay, accepting, or miserable. This journey, these moments are all about choosing, and it's a mental shift. Again, nothing has to change. So back up to trying to, you know, lighten these civilians up and saying look at it differently. Because the only reason that I am resisting, or the only reason that I think there's something wrong, or the only reason I'm relying on my eyes and what I've learned to give me an indication of what's wrong, is because of, number one, the past, and number two, it's from what I've learned. And so if I'm uncomfortable in any situation or annoyed, or it's only because I'm looking at it one way. I'm not aligned with the universe and looking at it in a universal way, with universal eyes. Because when you start to look at the world and your life with universal eyes, you realize that there is a plan, that there is an order to all of it. I do not, listen, I've given up trying to understand it, but I definitely know there is a divine plan. Perspective, lighten up, and to shift saying that this is something wrong with this, there's something wrong with having anxiety, there's something wrong with grinding my teeth, there's something wrong with worrying, and getting out of that mindset and saying, okay, yes, I do these things, or yes, these things happen, but I'm going to start accepting them, is the first step. Now, the second thing I want to share, or I don't know, second, third, fourth, I don't know what number I'm on. I want to share that you don't have to do anything by yourself, my dear audience. You don't have to, don't think that you're in this, that, okay, now I have to work on. No, there's no work that the universe doesn't ask you to work. Quite frankly, it's the opposite. The universe is a world of ease. Things happen easily. Shifts happen easily and gradually. Now, what you need, number one, is patience, practicing patience, and then also throwing out the question, how do I, and you fill in the blank, how do I accept more? How do I allow? How do I shift my perspective? How do I practice shifting perspective? You always ask the universe questions. And then sit back and let the universe respond and let the universe answer your questions. It's really, what I found is I do less. There's a lot less that I have to do, ever. In fact, my list of things to do comes down to zero, and it comes down to what am I inspired to do. In any given moment, what I'm inspired to do in the morning might be different than what I'm inspired to do in the afternoon. And you really get in tune with your intuition and your inspiration, and you really follow that. Now, let me say something that let me also share what I just learned on Friday. This is something totally, and I don't know if you can relate or not. But I used to think, okay, I'm sharing here. Don't tell anybody. Hope nobody is listening. Oh, I have a few people in the queue. Oh, hi there, Robert Sharp. And hi there, everybody else. If you want to have a question, just press the number one. But What I discovered, again, this is something that just happened on Friday. I was supposed to meet a friend of mine, and quite frankly, it wasn't going to be one of those. This was a meeting of we were exchanging energy. Then it wasn't going to be a pleasant exchange. It was actually somebody that I've known in the past, and it just felt a little. The energy was a little bit more serious. Let me say that. And I'm thinking to myself, talking myself up, and I'm like, okay, just allow it happens, whatever happens. Oh, this is it. Okay, let me just be very frank. This person, this was years ago, this person used to be very, I don't like to use labels. This person used to be very, I'm going to use a label, kind of mean, tit for tat, revengeful, and let me say this, I was had a friendship with this person because I was the same way. Let me just be honest, because you know, like attracts like, and so back in the day, 15, 20 years ago, I was mean, I was revengeful, I was oh my God, did I love to argue? I could argue down until you were exhausted. Trust me. And the relationship was very, very volatile, back and forth and back and forth. And quite frankly, let me get even more honest. He reminded me of my father because that headstrong, I'm always right, you're wrong. It was always a back and forth. There was never any peace. There was never any peace in the relationship. And it's funny because I found in my life back in the day that my relationships were never peaceful. And the reason why? Because I wasn't peaceful. It had nothing to do with these other people. It's that I wasn't peaceful. That's why my relationships weren't. Boy, was that a pill to swallow when I finally realized it. But then it's also empowering because that means that I have the ability to make any relationship, including the people that tend to be confrontational, peaceful. And so let me share with you how I did that. So I was meeting and I was exchanging something that I had and I had for years, and I was giving it back, and this person was the same person and just, back and forth, and I can't believe you kept that. Well, I was cleaning out the closet. I just realized that I had it. I can't believe you have that. Just like you. And so I got all of this earful of how I was looking for that, and I didn't know you had it, and you kept it on purpose, and all of that. And I didn't respond. I had no response other than I didn't want to say, no, I didn't keep it on purpose. No, it wasn't my intention. No, I just cleaned out my closet. I actually didn't respond at all. And trust me, if you knew me 20 years ago, if you accused me of something that I did not do and had no it and was that was incorrect, you better believe that you got an earful. You better believe that I set your ass straight. But now I didn't. And I knew because I heard it over the phone. And I knew that when I finally met with this person and gave them their item back after over 10 years of having it in the closet, gathering dust, I knew that there wasn't going to be, here, you're listening to me? I knew that there wasn't going to be any way to just make it peaceful or calm. I mean, I knew it. I get a call Friday night. Okay, meet me because I'm not coming to your house. I don't even want to step foot in your house. And it was just this back and forth conversation. And again, I was very quiet. I said, will you let me know where you want me to meet you? Well, meet me at the Ralph's store on Fuller Hill in 15 minutes. Now, mind you, I'm at home. It's Friday. I'm actually cooking. I'm making my dinner. I had vegetables on the stove. I was making salmon. And meet me in 15 minutes. And I'm thinking, well, I said, I'm cooking. Turn everything off. Meet me in 15 minutes. I mean, and I'm actually being very kind because there was the voice was louder. Now, audience, I have to tell you that I was unrecognizable. I was, okay, I will. Pajamas and everything. I had a little put a robe on, pajamas, got in my car, and met them. And it was raining on Friday here in California. Number one, he said, meet me in the parking lot. He said, meet me in the parking lot. And there's a huge parking lot. So I used my intuition, and they weren't in their car. They were in a company car. Used my intuition, followed the company truck, found it, parked. It's raining. And they said, roll down the window, here, get out, give me my blank, blank, blank. I said, well, I can't. I'm in my pajamas. I'm in my slippers. I don't have any shoes on. What I'm trying to say is that the energy and the energy was so strong, and all I could do was, and I mean this totally, surrender and be quiet and not say one word. In other words, my challenge was to be kind, and I really mean that, was to be kind to someone that was not kind or appeared, okay, appeared to anybody's eyes who was not kind to me. The only way I could do that was because I practiced and have been practicing being kind to people who are not kind, being accepting to people who are not accepting. And I'm telling you that it was a totally different shift. What happened was I actually came out of my body and I became this person that was just observing. And number one, I knew that whatever anybody says or whatever anybody does or how anybody ever behaves, it's never personally directed at me. It could seem, of course, it could feel, they could say, they could even use my name in vain, if you will. But it's never directed at me. It's never personal. So this was the first time in my years of knowing this person to consciously just observe without getting all intertwined and just being an observing entity, if you will. And there was no way, because quite frankly, I thought, okay, I'm going to give back the item. I'll give them a nice hug, you know, go on, you know, enjoy your life, kiss, hug. And I got to do none of that. None of it unfolded the way I, quote, thought that it would. And so I learned another valuable lesson that I don't even know the next moment. I never know how the next moment is going to unfold. And quite frankly, my dear audience, neither do you. I used to think that, oh, I know how the universe is going to work this. Oh, I know how the universe is going to plan this. Oh, I know how this is going to end. Oh, I know how this is going to unfold. Oh, I know if I make this contact and I do A, B, C, and D, oh, I know what's going to happen after that. And I'm here to tell you, my dear audience, trust me, left hand is up in the air. I'm testifying now that there is no way that you know what's going to happen in the next moment. And quite frankly, the way that what I thought, you know, I'm going to, because, you know, relationships that are bumpy and are adversarial and confrontational, yeah, they never end nicely. And so years ago, I'm thinking, okay, now I'm a different person. I can hug, I can kiss, I can embrace, I can say, hey, cool, you know, wishing the best for you. That's what I really wanted to do. I had that intention. Quite frankly, let me be honest, I had that agenda. All noble, all honest, but no. The universe didn't have that intention, and the universe didn't have that agenda, and the universe didn't have that plan. And so what I learned was just to be in the moment and witness what's going on, and then to get cues. And just to be open to cues, it's like being a drone. You know, drones that are flying or electric cars that are moving or anything like that that are controlled by a controller, you know, playing a game. You control what is the drone's going to turn right or it's going to turn left. And so what I've learned and what I practice nowadays is I'm letting my intuition, I'm letting my inspiration control me in every single moment. And my inspiration and intuition said to be quiet and just witness. And sure enough, gets out of the car, grabs, you know, I had it in the trunk, the object, not even a thank you, not even a goodbye, not even a have a good life. And I just witnessed. It was very enlightening for me, and not to take anything personally. You know, when one of the things that I like to talk about is looking at other people and focusing on, say, that you're not compatible with their energy, let's just say that. And compatible with their energy, say people, and you want to say toxic people, negative people, rude people, judgmental people, opinionated people, confrontational people, whatever you want to label them. When that focus is off and the labels are off and all you're doing is witnessing what's going on in this world, you will find and you will develop a new sense of peace, because you know that what's going on with them is them and their relationship with their universe. I got a relationship with my universe, and they have a relationship, and their journey is totally different, and what they have to learn is totally different, and what they have to experience is totally different than what I have to experience. So it's a very powerful week. Whatever you want to stop, let me just recap. Whatever you want to stop, don't say you want to stop anything. Start accepting, start allowing, practice accepting, practice allowing, practice not resisting what's going on in your reality, and then asking, how can I be at peace with what is going on? How can I be at peace with every one of my moments? Because I'll guarantee that if you are dissatisfied in this moment because of something that is happening, if you are dissatisfied in this moment, you will be dissatisfied in the next moment. If you think that, okay, I need to lose 30 pounds, I need to lose 50 pounds, and then I will be happy. I need to stop grinding my teeth, and then I will be happy. I need to stop feeling anxious, and then I will be happy. Trust me, that is a spiral that will never get you out of anywhere. No, the moment of contentment, the moment of peace is in this moment, regardless of what is happening. There is never any future thing. When this happens, now I can feel this way. You will be chasing your tail and chasing your tail forever. It's really about this moment and finding and being at peace and being satisfied in this moment, because when you're satisfied in this moment, regardless of what's happening, you will be satisfied in the next moment. And when you practice it, you practice a sense and an energy of satisfaction. Yes, makes sense? I think so. Well, You've been listening to Reality Spirituality, and Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 7 a.m. You can go to my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. Also, if you want to send me an email, go to info@RebeccaNorrington. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And if you've enjoyed the show, and I know that you have, and if you're still listening, go to Facebook, Reality Spirituality, and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. I want you to remember that you are an extension of the universe. You're always evolving, you're always changing, and you're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with your growth. Be patient with this life. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. We're going to connect again next week, Sunday, 7 a.m. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Oh, if you want my book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, you can get that on Amazon. And until next week, 7 a.m. Sunday morning, thank you for listening. Thank you all, and enjoy your week.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's the newest spirit. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Yeah, it's time to get down.
Reality.